Good morning. Let's stand for the call to worship. My apologies. I copied the wrong thing. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the godly. Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation. Let the godly exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their throats and two-edged swords in their hands. No, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. This is honor for all his godly ones. Praise the Lord. Reading from Jeremiah 4. If you will return, O Israel, says the Lord, return to me. And if you will put away your abominations out of my sight, then you shall not be moved. And you shall swear, the Lord lives. In truth, in judgment, and in righteousness, the nations shall bless themselves in him. And in him they shall glory. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart. You men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn so that no one can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we know that you said that David was a man after your own heart, and he is the one who wrote that his bones were broken because of his sin, and he's the one who said, search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. We ask, Lord, that we would be willing to come before you and to pray that prayer, that we would ask you to search us. Search us and see if there be any wicked way in us, that you would expose it, that we would be convicted, and that we would be those who would confess our sin. For you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Also from Jeremiah, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their minds, write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Our Father and God, we thank you and praise you that we have been invited to come into your presence. We know, Lord, that you actually tell us that we are to pray without ceasing, that we are to live constantly in communication with you. We thank you that we are those who are washed in the blood of Christ and that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We thank you that you are merciful to us and that you've given us the indwelling Spirit whereby we call you Father. As we consider our place in your family, we know that Jesus Christ is our elder brother, that he is also our King of Kings, and he's the one who told us that the fields are ripe unto harvest and that we ought to pray for laborers to be sent into the harvest. So, Father, as we look at where we live, we know, Lord, that this is a field, and we know that according to your word that it's ripe unto harvest. So we ask that you would be gracious and merciful to us and give us a burden for those around us who are lost. We know, Father, that those who are not in your family are dead in their trespasses and sins. And we ask that we would carry the message, the good news, that Jesus Christ did come and that he was the one who bore the penalty for us on the cross. We thank you for your faithful servants around the world who bear this glorious message. And we thank you and praise you that we anticipate the soon return of our King. We ask as we continue to watch and to wait that we would be those who be faithful and that we would not be those who would understand that you are slow according to your promise, but that we would know that a day is 1,000 years is as a day and you're for you. So we ask that we would be patient, that we would be watchful, and that we would be zealous unto every good work. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to sing, Jesus, Thou Joy of Loving Hearts. Thank you. You may be seated. Our scripture reading is taken from the Gospel of John. So when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that as you use your word in our lives, that we would see Jesus, that you would draw us to him, that we would be conformed to the image of his. And we ask, Lord, that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of him. In Jesus' name, amen. We talk about the gospel. We know that the gospel, the word itself, means good news. What is the good news? Very simply, the good news is that the dread enemy, death, has been destroyed because our Redeemer paid our penalty at the cross. This came to me very strongly this past spring. I had 2 members of my family die this past spring. To the best of my knowledge, one went to hell. I never heard him make a profession of faith. I never heard him do anything in terms of referencing Christ. He was of the world, lived according to the world, spoke of the world, was proud of what he did in the world, proud of the world's patting him on the back. And from everything I know of him, he went to hell. The other member of the family, for the best of my knowledge, he's in God's presence. Why do I say that? Because he made a profession of faith. He talked about Christ, how he depended upon Christ. He talked about Christ paying the penalty for his sin, and he was focused on serving Christ. That is the essence of what we need to understand about the importance of the good news. Nobody gets out of this life without dying, unless Jesus Christ comes first. And this passage deals with the resurrection. Before we talk about this passage, we need to understand that Jesus Christ said in John chapter 5 that all the dead will be raised from the dead. When Jesus, at the last, he will call all men up from the grave. Some men will be raised for condemnation. and others will be raised for life eternal. This is what we as God's people hold in our hands, this precious news. John gives us some information here that we need to have so that we understand the significance of this particular sign that Jesus does. Jesus came and he found that Lazarus had been in the tomb 4 days. Why is that significant? Why does God give us that detail? He gives us that detail because the Hebrews believed that the soul hung around the body for 3 days. That was what the Hebrews believed. Furthermore, at 72 hours, the body is well on its way to corruption. Rigor mortis has come and gone, and there's a breakdown of the fluids in the body. The organs are deteriorating, and the body, as Martha says later on in the chapter, it stinks. Lazarus was dead. You may recall that Jesus raised Jairus' daughter. But Jairus' daughter was on her deathbed. And he also raised the young man who was the son of the widow at Nain. He was in his coffin going to his grave. So both the daughter of Jairus and the young man at Nain were less than 24 hours dead. Lazarus was dead 4 days. His body was well on its way to deteriorating. Furthermore, John gives us some more information that Bethany was near Jerusalem, and many of the Jews joined Martha and Mary. There is a crowd. And once again, the Hebrews, when they went to a funeral, they generally committed themselves to 7 days. And after 7 days of weeping and mourning, then they would go about their business. But some would stay committed for 30 days to comfort and console those living. So John gives us the tale that there are many who have come to comfort Martha and Mary. And Jesus comes to that crowd. And Martha greets him. Listen to the rebuke that she gives. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. That communicates two things. Number one, she fully believed that Jesus was able to heal her brother. She had observed many healings in the process of Jesus' ministry. He healed lepers, he healed blind people, he healed the lame, he healed all kinds of people. Martha knew this, so she was fully convinced that if Jesus had come, he would have healed Lazarus. The second thing it tells us is she didn't contemplate the possibility that Jesus would raise him from the dead. She did acknowledge Jesus' relationship with God, and it's possible that she was not sure what she said. She may have spoken better than she knew. She says, but even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Don't really know what's behind that. But it's possible she was speaking better than she knew. Jesus responds, your brother shall rise again. Now, the Sadducees and the Pharisees had two different views of the afterlife. The Sadducees believed that there was no resurrection. No resurrection. The Pharisees believed that there was a resurrection. And we hear in the Old Testament that the psalmist believed in a resurrection. Job believed in a resurrection. Isaiah and Daniel believed in a resurrection. The Old Testament expects a resurrection, but the Old Testament's expectation was in the last day. When the world comes to an end, men will be raised. And they'll be raised for judgment. The same idea that Jesus mentioned in John chapter 5. The resurrection is an article of faith. You and I say that we live by faith. Actually, if you think about it, all men live by faith. The question is, what is their object of faith? If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, your object of faith is the person of Jesus Christ. If you're not a Christian, your object of faith is something different. Maybe it's yourself. I believe in myself. Or maybe it's you believe in somebody else and you model yourself after that person. But every man lives by faith. It's the Christian that lives by faith in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus here says, your brother shall rise again. And Martha says, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. So her concept of resurrection is at the end of the world and future. Jesus turns that around. Her focus was in the future. Her focus was down the road. And Jesus brings it back to the present and to himself. I am the resurrection. I am the life. He does not say, I raise people from the dead. He does not say, I give resurrection or I give life. No, in his person, I am the resurrection. I am the life. This is one of those I am statements in the Gospel of John. You may recall he said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. And later on he will say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I am the true vine. This is who he is. I am the resurrection. I am the life. And what he says next is we all kind of get into, okay? We get this. You go to a funeral of somebody who confess to be a Christian, and you believe that he or she is in the presence of the Lord, and we praise the Lord for this, and that's exactly where he goes here. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. We all get that. We all understand that. You've been to many funerals where this is before the congregation and the family. The deceased is a child of God. We praise the Lord that he's in God's presence. But it's the next statement that we don't get. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. The never there is a very, very emphatic negative. If I were going to be emphatic, I would say, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never, never, never die. What does Jesus mean? When you look in the mirror in the morning, are you looking at somebody who will never die? Never. We talk about the first and second resurrection. Do you know what the first resurrection is? The first resurrection is when you were dead in transgression and sins, and you were raised in Christ. That's the first resurrection. You were dead in trespasses and sins, and now you've been raised with Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, you've been made alive, and you are seated in the heavenlies. You were dead in sin, and now you have been made alive, and you are seated in the heavenlies. Colossians 3, raised with Christ. You have been raised with Christ. Romans 8:30, we were predestined, called, justified, and glorified. Do you look in the mirror in the morning and go, I'm glorified, hallelujah. You've been raised with Christ. You have been glorified. And that means your citizenship is in heaven. You are now a pilgrim and sojourner here upon earth. You don't belong here anymore. You have been raised from being dead in sin to now being alive in Christ. So now your citizenship is in heaven. And that means you are a pilgrim and sojourner here upon earth. This is the question that Jesus asked Martha. Do you believe this? It's a question that each one of us needs to examine. Do you believe that you are now seated in heaven with Christ? Do you believe now that you are alive in Him? You were dead in sin, and now you are alive in Him. Because of the work of Christ, do you believe that you are glorified? We are, Paul, in that passage, he says, we were predestined, we're called, we're justified. And we kind of all agree that that's probably true. But do you believe that you're glorified? Same sentence, same verbs, same verb tenses. It's all one. If you've been predestined, you've been called, you've been justified, you are now glorified. Which is why Paul goes on in that chapter and says, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God because you are seated in heaven with Christ. You are raised with Christ. You have been glorified and your citizenship is in heaven. Do you believe this? Remember what Jesus said, do not fear those who can kill the body, but we need to fear him who can cast body and soul into hell. If you're a God's child, hell is not an option because you are already seated in heaven. You're already there. You've been raised with Christ. And your citizenship is there. That's why Jesus says to his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm coming again. And the question is again, do you believe this? All who have died in Christ and those who are co-inheritors with him will live with the Lord forever. But if you sit here and you are God's child as you sit here, you are with him forever beginning now. The moment you were raised from being dead in trespasses and sins and being made alive in Christ, you belonged to Christ forever. Again, the question is, do you believe this? I don't know about you, but I often have gone back over my life and asked myself that question. Do I really believe? Do I really understand who Christ is? Do I really comprehend my relationship with him? Do I understand that I am a new creation created in Christ Jesus? Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And we are all good, aren't we, at going to funerals and saying, aren't we wonderful? He's so-and-so is with the Lord. Praise God. Or you read the obituary and say, so-and-so died and is now with the Lord. They haven't changed their relationship with the Lord. They only changed their address. You don't change your relationship with the Lord when you are in a coffin. Your relationship is changed when you've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's the first resurrection. And that's why you and I need to understand that people around us are dead in their trespasses and sins. They need the good news. They may need money, they may need comfort, they may need solace, they need, but you know, you can give them all the food and comfort that they want, but if they die without the gospel, all that food and comfort did them no good. None at all. They need the gospel. It's the gospel that raises people from the dead. That's the good news. And you have the gospel. You are alive in Christ. Now Martha, when she responded, you'll see that she doesn't answer the question. Jesus asked her the question, do you believe this? And she doesn't answer the question. But she makes a confession. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ. So what is she saying? I believe that you are the one the Old Testament spoke of. You are the one that's the anointed one. You are the fulfillment of the covenant with David. That's what she's saying. Then she says, you are the Son of God. So she's acknowledging that Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. She's acknowledging that he is, as he defined himself, I and the Father are one. And then she acknowledges that he is to come into the world. But she does what we often do. We often don't answer the question asked. It's one of the first things I learned back in 1984-85 when I was going to Canada every day to school, that at the border you answer the question asked. If you edit it, if you change it, add anything, you just might get pulled over. You answer the question asked. And the question for you this morning is, do you believe that you will never die? Do you believe that you are now seated in heaven with Christ? Do you believe that your citizenship is already there and you're a pilgrim and a sojourner, you're going there? Do you believe this? How should it affect your life? If you really believe this, that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and therefore you will never die, then you have no fear. You will gossip the gospel. And you will focus on pursuing righteousness, and you will seek first the kingdom of God. You are already a member of the kingdom of God. You are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And if you really believe that you will never die, then that will be your focus, and you will serve him with gladness and enter into his courts with praise. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for that work that you have done for us in Christ. We thank you that you called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. We thank you that you've given us the Holy Spirit, whereby we call you Father. You've given us the Holy Spirit, whereby our mouths are open, that we might show forth your praise. We thank you that you know our thoughts from afar off. We thank you that you know the words upon our tongue before we utter them. And we thank you that one day we will stand before you in our new bodies, and we'll see Jesus Christ as he is, because we will be like him. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to sing. Our Father and God, we do praise you and thank you that we have the privilege of carrying the precious seed of the gospel. We thank you that you keep us here to fulfill our calling as your ambassadors. We ask that we would be faithful to our calling, that we would be those who would exalt Jesus Christ in all that we do and say, knowing that we are storing up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal. We ask that truly we would be able to joyfully answer this question, that yes, we believe that we will never die. We praise you and thank you for the expectation of the soon return of our Lord and King. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.